In Jesus' name, I used to love this story. The Abraham, Isaac, obeying God's will story. For quite a while when I was a child, I was intrigued with the notion of such devotion to God and such submission to God's will. Abraham was certainly viewed by me and by Sunday school teachers who waxed eloquently about the virtues of obeying God's will as a fine example of the faith. I used to love this story. That was so until my father, granted he'd been drinking, but my father declared that I had better behave, or God might just tell him to sacrifice me. Just like God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Well, that did get my attention. And it is true, I have learned in my adulthood that sometimes people do hurtful things, injurious and even fatal things, to each other in the name of duty and obedience to God. But what created an even stronger response and wondering about this story, I bet you can almost intuitively know by now. What created an even stronger response about this story was the birth of our own son. Can you imagine? Holding this child in your arms, walking side by side with your child as the child grows, and being ordered by God to sacrifice, as in kill, your son. Frankly, the thought is incomprehensible to me. The action, murder. So I am not in a good spiritual or emotional position to defend, understand, excuse, or applaud God's action here. It is a mystery that is confined to God's ways are not my ways and God's thoughts are not mine. But to be frank, I recoil from the test. So you will not hear the piety I learned in Sunday school of duty, obedience, or submission today, not at least in the classic Abraham-Isaac sense. Yet in the New Testament unfolding of this dynamic of Father and Son and God, it is no longer we, the humans, that are asked to sacrifice our sons. It is no longer God who instructs us to do so, it is rather God who does so. That by which he tested Abraham is that which he did himself. And on the altar of sacrifice is not a human Isaac, but rather God's very son. And on the altar with the knife raised is not God or our fathers, but we, you and I. A voice does not stop us. We kill. Every action that offends the heart of God, every behavior that is contrary to God's law, every misstep, every condemnatory word, everything in our dark side, it is all in the arm that brings the knife down on God's Isaac. This is finally the word from the darkest of the dark side: we killed the son. And any of us who resist this notion, any of us who want to say, well, not I, but them, well, we miss the whole point of the law and redemption and God's grace. But there is a further word from God. This is the Lamb who took the place of Isaac, who took the place of you and me, who endures our knife thrust. This is the Christ who raised from the dead. This is the Christ who embraces the darkness and the darkest of our personal evils. And at the foot of the cross and in the power of the empty tomb, loves us with an everlasting love for all times and in all places. So when it comes down to us, God did for us what God did not allow a human to do. His son was killed that we might have life and salvation. The Isaac of God, who was killed by our transgressions, is raised for his and our victory. So, use this Lent to come to terms with the darkness and the evil within you that plunged the knife into God's Isaac. And then, with all that you know yourself to be, look to the cross and the empty tomb, where God reveals himself as a God of compassion, care and hope and love for you, for me, for all of God's children. Look to the cross and the empty tomb where you find in the midst of all our evil and pain and darkness that you and I are loved by the everlasting love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.